You know, the older I get, the more I recognize the deep connection between my relationships and two things, my mood and the mission of my life. All right, so let me break that down a little bit. If my relationships are awesome, right, regardless of what I'm facing in the world around me, regardless of the problems that are happening around me, I'm still okay. I feel like my head's above water if my closest relationships are healthy. But on the flip side of that, if my closest relationships aren't healthy and there's division and there's problems, it doesn't matter how many good things are happening around me, I still feel like I'm drowning. And so mood is deeply impacted by our relationships. The other side of this is mission. Man, when my relationships are messed up and broken off, I can't see the mission of God clearly in my life. And honestly, I don't want to do the mission of God if my relationships are messed up. Also, the mission of God is a mission of resistance. In other words, we live in a world today that's broken. If you haven't recognized that, we live in a world today that the prince of this earth, the enemy, is just wreaking havoc on people. And so when we're fulfilling the mission of God in our life, we're consistently going upstream. We're working against resistance. Now, when I go to the gym, if you ever go to the gym and try to find me, do not try to find me on the weight floor with all those big dudes, you know, lifting the heavy weights and throwing them down and screaming and like carrying milk jugs of water around. Like, that ain't me, right? Go look for me on the machines with all the other soccer moms, right? That's where I'm at. And I'm doing my work, you know, on my elliptical or whatever. And as I'm doing it, I'm listening to music and I'm having a good time. But man, whenever I'm on those little machines, I always kind of pick the hill thing. And the hill thing is like, you go work really hard for a minute and then for a minute you chill. And you work hard for a minute and then for a minute you chill. And you kind of do that over and over again. I guess that works for me. At least it makes me, I can get through the whole hour. But I bring that up to say, I wish that's how the world was. I wish we had hard days and easy days. But the truth is, if you're a follower of Jesus and you're on mission, you're constantly swimming upstream. You're constantly working against the resistance of the world. And we need relationships around us to help us. It doesn't make life easier. It's just awesome to go through it and know you're not the only one and that you're not alone. Relationships deeply impact mood and mission. And what I found is that if your mood is right and the mission of God is clear, you can literally change the world. I mean, you can change the world by impacting the lives of people as long as those two things are rock solid. But if they're not, man, we can't change the world. Let me tell you what I mean. If your mood is good, but the mission is cloudy, you can't change the world because you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. However, if the mission is clear, but your mood is bad, you won't change the world because you won't feel like it. And so what I found is if we're going to be people who impact the world around us, we have to have healthy relationships. Our relationships have to be centered and we have to find health in them. And so the passage we're going to look at today is a letter that's between two guys, one Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he's writing him and he's encouraging him. And just in the first 7 verses, I believe we find why their relationship so impacted the rest of the world. I think we're going to find at least 4 things that are going to pop off the page of things that we can apply in our relationships to make sure that our mood stays right and the mission of our life is clear and we can continue going forward and impacting the lives of the people around us. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1 and go through verse 7. Scripture says this, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelled in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given you a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." You know, before we dive into these 4 factors that I think are going to just hop off the page, I do want to address some people that the moment I said relationships, you're like, I'm out. And what I mean by that is in your life right now, for one reason or another, you have isolated yourself. Maybe you just don't think you're a people person. Or maybe you just don't like people. But the other side of that is maybe you used to have good relationships, but they failed and they hurt you and you've experienced some damage or some pain in your life because of it. And now you keep everybody at arm's length. And I just want to plead with you as you hear this passage, these two guys impacted the world because they had a healthy relationship, at least one healthy relationship. I want to encourage you, if you're a believer in Christ, you cannot do this alone. I know the pandemic has put us in a place where many of us are operating in our spiritual lives apart from other people. I think this is the time to call us back into fellowship. And the reason for it is we can't accomplish the mission of God, and we can't maintain the mood that God wants for our lives if we don't have healthy relationships. So let's lean in. And if you're a believer in Christ and you're functioning in these relationships, I pray that this message inspires you, encourages you to keep going. And so let's look and let's discover these four factors of relationships that change the world. The first one is this: they're filled with grace, mercy, and peace from God. We see that directly in verse 2. As Paul's opening letter, he's blessing Timothy, and he says to him, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I want to kind of deconstruct this point starting at the end, because I think it's the most important part, and that is recognizing where our grace, mercy, and peace comes from, and that is our relationship with Jesus. Now, it's kind of discouraging to me, but many times when I sit face-to-face with people who are believers, who are church people, who are Pine Lakers, when I sit across from them and I ask them, where do you feel like your relationship with God is? They usually use words like this: I feel that he's far away. I feel like there is division. And in our world, a buzzword is this cancel culture, almost the idea that God has canceled them. In other words, they've gone too far and they can't come back. Man, church, I want you to hear that if you're in Christ, there is great news for you today. There is grace, mercy, and peace that's offered to you in a relationship with God through Jesus. Let me break those things down. First, grace. Grace is unmerited favor. It is when God gives you gifts that you do not deserve. This is both the founding and the grounding of our relationship with Jesus. There's many scriptures on grace. I'll just choose one from Titus 3:5. He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of our birth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's not because we've done anything. It's because of an unmerited favor that we have received from God. That is the foundation of our relationship with him. So, believer, I want you to hear, before we discuss relationships with other people, recognize you receive grace daily in your relationship with God through Jesus. Mercy. Man, mercy is when we don't receive the punishment we do deserve. And if you think about this, there are so many scriptures on mercy, but one of my favorite ones comes from Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. This is an Old Testament scripture, but we find later in scripture that every promise of God is a yes in Christ Jesus. And this is what it says. It says, every morning you wake up, his mercies are new for you. Every morning. That's the love that God has for you today. I pray that you receive that. That God doesn't have this angst against you. He's not waiting to judge you, but he's offering you mercy because that's who he is. And the final thing is peace. That we actually have peace with God. That's hard for people to think of. What does peace look like in a relationship? It's where you're not always worried about the next bomb that's gonna drop or the next bullet that's gonna fly. You know that there's peace. It's like in a relationship with your spouse. When you're at peace, when the garage door opens, you can't wait to see them. But when you're living at war with your spouse, when the garage door opens, you just get prepared for the next argument or the next battle. I think all of us have been there at times. But I want you to hear that in your relationship with God, when you come face to face with him, when you kneel down and when you pray, when you come to a church service, when you sing songs of worship, there is no beef between you and God. It's not because God's okay with all the bad things you've done in your life. It's not okay that God's okay with your disobedience. This is what it means. It means that your disobedience has already been punished in the work of Jesus on the cross. And God no longer has beef with you because he's already punished your sin through Jesus. And so I pray that you hear that today, that you have grace, mercy, and peace from God, and therefore you are able to operate in grace, mercy, and peace in your relationships with other people. But you don't have to look very far in our world today to know that this is not what the world's experiencing. In this culture of division, divisiveness, of cancel culture that just reigns supreme in our world today, the truth is, the reason that is because there's no grace, there's no mercy, and there's no peace. Why? Those come from God. And as the world has shut God out of every aspect of its life, no wonder the world is so divided. So what do we do as believers in this world? Well, I'll tell you what we don't do. We do not face the people who are divisive and who are angry and who are canceling us by doing the same to them. This is not going to change the world. That's not going to solve the problem. What changes and solves the problem in the world is when we offer grace, mercy, and peace to people who do not offer us grace, mercy, and peace. But instead of going out and trying to change the whole world, let's just talk about your home. In your closest relationships, with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends, with those you attend church with, how is your relationship? Is there grace? Is there mercy? Is there peace? I'd encourage you, if you're a believer in Christ, that is the expectation for your relationships. And so if you're broken off with somebody right now, I would say the greatest challenge for you right now is to remember what Jesus has done for you and offer that same thing in relationships to other people. And I think about moms on Mother's Day. Man, I think about the fact that so many of our moms have offered us grace and mercy and peace when we didn't deserve it. And that's why when the world comes crumbling down, we pick up the phone and we can call our mama. Why? Because she's offered that to us. Now, that's not everybody's experience, but for some of you, that makes sense. And you can offer that same grace, mercy, and peace to others. And I encourage you to do it. See, if we're going to have relationships that change the world, they have to be founded and grounded with grace, mercy, and peace. God first extends it to us, and we can extend it to others. Number two, the second factor of relationships that change the world are there is persistence in prayer. There's persistence in prayer in the relationship. Look at verse 3. Paul says, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Relationships that change the world are persistent in prayer. Now, let's think about this a little bit. Let's stop for a second. Give a shout out again to moms and grandmas who pray for us. Now, I think it's interesting. Usually moms stress out over their kids and grandmamas pray. The reason for that is because grandmas used to be moms. And when they were moms, they realized all the worrying didn't fix anything. And so they get to a place where they realize, well, at least I can pray to Jesus. And there are some moms out there who you've got this on lock and you pray for your kids and we want to thank you today. Maybe you're stuck here as a mom and you feel like you're not meeting expectations or you're not measuring up and you're looking for a next step to try to be more effective. I'd tell you this, instead of get off the mommy blogs, get off social media and spend some time praying for your kids. That's the best thing in the world that you can do for them. But back to the passage, we see this deep relationship where Paul is praying for Timothy night and day. This is important for us. Man, I don't know if you've heard the song recently that's come out, Talking to Jesus. I highly recommend it to you. It is a song that tells a story of a grandma who prayed for her grandson, a mom who prayed for her son, a son who's learned to walk and pray to Jesus, and then he's raising up a son who's in some trouble, and he teaches his son how to pray, and now the son's praying to Jesus. It's a multi-generational story of the power of prayer in relationships. What I've also learned about relationships is it is impossible to stay broken off at somebody that you pray for on a consistent basis. I mean, it just is. You can be so angry with somebody, but if you, and I'm not saying pray for them like this, oh God, smite them, you know, or not pray for them, oh God, I wish they'd see things from my perspective. No. You pray and you say, God, I pray that they would see your love today. I pray that they would see their value in your eyes today. I pray that their life would be changed through the gospel today. You start praying like that for even your worst enemies and your hate will turn to love. It's just what happens. But you might be like me. I've had times in my life where I say, I don't want to pray for them. Right? And the reason I don't want to pray for them is because I don't want God to bless them, right? I'm mad at them. And when I think about that and I think how evil that is, I just want you to know that's not a new 21st century thing. That's an ancient thing. You guys remember the story of Jonah? Jonah is told to go to a place called Nineveh and preach repentance over them because God's about to destroy their city. And Jonah's like, I ain't going there. Why? I don't like them. I don't like who they are. I don't like what they've done to my people. I'm not going to go. So if you know the story, man, Jonah goes in the opposite direction. It's crazy. He gets swallowed up by a fish and spit back on the land. I don't know about y'all. I read that. I think it's crazy, but I got to believe it. It's in the Bible. And Jesus said it was true. So I'm going to say it's true. He gets spit back out on the dry land. He goes back to Nineveh and he does the worst job preaching I've ever heard in my whole life. He literally just stands up and just says, God's going to destroy this place. God's going to destroy this place. And then finally they receive the message and they repent. Well, Jonah gets twisted with that. He goes out east of the city. He goes up under a tree. He sits with his arms folded and he waits for God to rain fire on the city. But God doesn't. Because God now is extending the grace, the mercy, and the peace we talked about before to people who Jonah didn't think deserved it. And the saddest part of the story is at the end of the story, the Ninevites are experiencing peace with God, where Jonah is on the outside looking in and he's frustrated with God. And the story doesn't end happy for Jonah. He has a little tree that he's kind of taking shade under, and then God sends a worm to eat the tree, and now he's by himself, all on the sun, and he's cursing God, and he's wanting himself just to die because his life didn't turn out the way that he wanted it to. Let me ask you this question. Is there anyone in your life right now where you're kind of proverbially sitting under a tree with your arms crossed, watching, waiting for God to destroy them? Maybe it's an ex. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's an old boss or coworker. Maybe it's an old church friend who turned their back on you. And that's where you are right now in your relationship. And I'd say this, you're never going to change the world if your relationships are twisted, because it'll affect your mood and it'll affect the mission. And so what do you got to do? Begin to pray for them today. It's an easy step for you. And just say, God, let them experience the same love and grace that you've given to me. And just start with that prayer and see what God does. See how God changes your heart towards them. Man, prayer is powerful, and persistent prayer in relationships will change the world. You say, man, I just can't do that. Well, I'd say this. If you're a follower of Jesus, follow in his footsteps. Do you remember as he hung on the cross and people were hurling insults at him, the very people that cried, crucify him, and even the very people that nailed him to the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And the same spirit that fills Christ Jesus is the same spirit that fills you and me. You can pray powerful prayers like that. It's that important. Relationships that change the world are filled with grace, mercy, and peace from God. They are also persistent in prayer. Number three is this. There's an awareness of their story, their history, and story. Look at verse 5. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelled in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that is in you as well. Again, pause for a moment. Let's thank those mamas. Thank you for their consistency and their walk. For many of us, the very first person we saw walking with Jesus was our grandma or our mother. And just like Eunice and just like Lois, they probably had no idea as they were walking out their faith daily how it would drastically impact the future of the church. They were just taking one step at a time and following Jesus. And I would greatly encourage the moms out there today that if you feel like you're failing or you feel like you're missing it, just continue to pursue in your relationship with Jesus and we'll see what God does. They had no idea the impact they'd have in young Timothy's life. But what I love about this passage is it's kind of in the southern slang. Paul is saying to Timothy, bro, remember this. I know your mama and them. Like, I know your history. I know where you came from. I know your stories. Remember, we used to sit around and eat in your home. I know where you're from. Relationships that change the world have history to them. You know them. And I tell you, coming as an outsider moving from Florida to Mississippi years ago, this is something I truly believe that Mississippi gets so right. Maybe it's because not a lot of people move from Mississippi or move to Mississippi, but a lot of people know people. And when you go out to a restaurant, it's crazy how many people know people. It's not just small town. It might have something to do with the southern hospitality, but I do believe God has gifted this place with true, deep, genuine relationships. And it's powerful. And I think that God can use those to change the world. You know, in an area that I grew up in was so transient, I'd get to know somebody, and 6 months later, they were moved to another place I'd never see them again. That doesn't happen very often here. But I caution us that as we enjoy the familiarity of the history of people's lives, that we don't assume that we know the whole story. And I think that's the danger that we can find. What I love about Paul's relationship with Timothy is he doesn't just know historical facts of Timothy's life, where he's from, who his mama is, who his grandmama is, but he knows about his journey. He knows about his continued story and his relationship with Jesus. And I'd say to us, what's hard sometimes when we've known people our whole lives is it feels awkward to sit down and ask the question, what's your story? No. Not where you went to high school or where you went to college or what you majored in or you know, what fraternity or sorority you were in or where do you work or who your boss is or where you go on vacation, but what's your ongoing story in your relationship with Jesus? This is something that I absolutely love about our local church. Pine Lake is a movement of life change stories. And our vision is to see our entire state and beyond changed through these life change stories. That they would come to Jesus because people are communicating the ongoing story of Jesus in their lives. That's why we show videos of stories. That's why we tell stories from the baptistry. That's why when you're watching on online church, you're seeing ongoing stories. It's because we celebrate those. It's important because if we know someone's story, then we don't make assumptions about their lives. When we don't know their story, it's easy to fill in the gaps with assumptions and presumptions. And when we do that, a lot of times we totally misunderstand and prejudge the person. And sometimes we can dismiss someone or cancel someone because we don't know their story. So I think a great action step for us as the church today, as we're thinking about the importance of deep, healthy relationships, is to stop today, this week, with someone you work out with, maybe even somebody within your own home, maybe even your own spouse, and say, listen, I know a lot of your history, but I want to know your story. How did you start a relationship with God? What does that look like today? How can I help you with that? Man, those conversations can set not only the mood of our life, but it can set the mission of God on fire, and then we can truly be people that go out and change the world. I pray that we hear that today. This is very, very vital. It's important for us to know the history and the story. It's easy to dismiss people and cancel people when we don't know their story. So I want to recap the first three before we get to the last one. Relationships that change the world, that means they impact the mood and they impact the clarity of mission in our lives. And as we go out with the right mood and on the right mission and we change the world, these relationships are filled with grace, mercy, and peace from God. There's persistence in prayer. And there's an awareness of their history and their story. Here's number four. In the relationship, they remind what is true and they call out what is false. Look at verse 6 and 7. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. You see, Paul is reminding Timothy of what is true. He says to him, hey, I remember when you came to Jesus. I remember when you started a relationship with Jesus. I remember when you went all in. I remember the day where I laid my hands on you and you received the gift of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit began to work in you in a way that was way beyond your intelligence, way beyond your natural giftings, way beyond the history of your family. I saw transformation in your life. I want to remind you of that, Timothy. Now, why is this so important for us to hear? Why is this so important for Timothy to hear? Well, the context is Timothy, in both letters, Paul is encouraging Timothy because Timothy is facing struggles as a leader in the local church. He has people that are rejecting him. He has people that aren't respecting him because he's a young leader. And Paul is speaking what is true into his life because he's surrounded by things that are false. It sounds like what's happening here is Paul is giving Timothy like a pregame speech. Now, one of the things that is hilarious when you spend time in student ministry is coaches will call you and ask you to come and speak before their game, right? So you go into the locker room and it's sweaty and it's nasty. Imagine a football locker room. The smell is terrible and the guys are fired up. There's pain on their eyes. They're listening to music. I can't even repeat some of the lyrics of the music. They're ready to go murder someone. And then they invite the local youth pastor in to come and give them a pep talk, right? And so it's hard to do, right? So what I do is I go to the most beast mode stories in the Bible and I just get people fired up, right? I'll be like, you know about David and Goliath, you heard? And they're like, ah, you know, they get fired up. And that's how, you know, you got to take the stones and then you got to cut his head off and hold it up. And you can tell some of the people who aren't from church are like, dang, this story is crazy, right? And it's like, hold it up. But you're getting them fired up because they're about to go out and you play a game and it feels silly as I'm doing it, but I'm doing it because it's what the coach wants me to do. I might tell the story of Benaiah. People might not know that one, but he was one of David's mighty men. And he was most known for on a snowy day, jumping and chasing a lion into a pit and then killing the lion with his bare hands. A guy wrote a book about the whole story. I mean, you hear that and say, man, so today the conditions might not be good. It might be snowy. It might be cold. It might be slippery. But brother, jump in the pit. You know, you get all fired up and then rip the lion up. People are like, well, you know, it gets crazy, you know. And it's funny watching people like, I want to go to that dude's church, right? And then we tell the stories of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Walk in the fire and stand boldly. God is with you. But the truth is, God's with the other team too. Like, this is just a football game, you know? This is just a baseball game. But, you know, you don't tell the kids that. You're trying to get them fired up. Now, why is this important? Paul understands something. Paul understands that every day is game day for a believer. It's not just on Friday nights when the lights come on. It's not just when you're standing on the mound and you're pitching. Every day is game day for a believer, and there has to be somebody speaking life and doing the pregame speech before you walk out into this real thing called life. Now, what does that look like? Every day is game day when you have to wake up as a believer and choose to die to yourself and choose to love your spouse even when they're unlovable, because the mission of Jesus and the clarity of the gospel is at stake when believers divorce and the world wonders why their relationships are like everybody else's. And so every day's game day if you're a married believer and you need someone speaking life and speaking against the falsehoods around you. Man, every day is game day when you choose to walk into integrity in your workplace, when you realize there is a system that's designed so you can cheat and benefit. So you need someone speaking into your life on a day-to-day basis that's calling out what is true and also revealing what is false. Do you have that in your life? Relationships that change the world can do that. But I fear that many of us don't have a relationship that we have given someone access to speak truth into our life even when it hurts. And if you don't have that in your life right now, you will never change the world, because you'll always just do what you want to do and you'll stop when it starts to hurt. Every day is game day for a believer to take the high road when you face difficult neighbors and difficult people in the community who don't believe what you believe or even attack what you believe. Every day is game day. Every day is game day when we choose purity over the lesser temptations of the world, because our purity matters. Our integrity matters. Every day is game day when we have to say yes to the Spirit and no to the other things that attempt to control us in our lives. Every day is game day. Paul recognizes that. And so as he sits in a prison, facing the end of his life, he's giving a rah-rah speech to Timothy, who he knows has many years of ministry ahead of him. He calls out what is false, and he reminds him what is true. And because of that, their relationship changed the world. Now, I said before, when you look at the story, it's interesting. Because Paul and Timothy could have made every excuse of why they could pull away and isolate themselves. Paul was a man who lived his life in such a way before Christ that he persecuted the church and became an enemy to the church. And when he started to follow Jesus, the reason his ministry took so long to get off the ground was simple. It's because nobody trusted him. He had to have people vouch for him just to preach, just to do ministry. Barnabas was one of them who had to vouch for him so people would receive him. Imagine if Paul would have just got his feelings hurt by the fact that people didn't trust him and he would have given up. And I think about Timothy. Timothy had every excuse to quit. Let me tell you how crazy his life was. When Paul first said, Timothy, I want you to come on my first missionary, I want you to come on a missionary journey with me. Timothy said, okay. He goes, but here's the problem. You're a teenager. Your dad wasn't a Jew. Therefore, you're not circumcised. I need you to be circumcised before we go on this trip. Y'all, I'm not going to get in the bloody details of this, but circumcision usually took place in a Jew's life on the eighth day of life, not the 16th year of life. But Timothy responded because he did not want to be a distraction to the mission of God. If you tell me that I've got to do that in order to be accepted, bro, I'm out. But Timothy said yes. And Timothy began to lead in the local church. And as he led, people disrespected him because he was young. They looked down on him. They didn't trust him. He struggled to have leadership in the church. So he had to be encouraged by his father in the faith. Timothy and Paul had excuses of why they did not need relationships with other people to be successful, but they pressed against that, and because of that, they changed the world. So right where you are right now, you might have made every excuse of why you don't need to have healthy, genuine Christian relationships. But I'd say to you, as we look at the story, there really isn't a good excuse. You can actually walk in relationships with people that will encourage you. It will lift your mood. It will make the mission clearer. And when those two things are at stake, when those two things are strong, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you can change the world. Relationships that change the world are filled with grace, mercy, and peace from God. There is persistence in prayer in those relationships. There's awareness of your history and your story, and they remind us of what is true and they call out what is false. Before we close today, I do want you to understand that all four of these are offered to you freely in a relationship with God. As God relates to you, he gives you grace, mercy, and peace. As God relates with you, he makes intercession for you. The scripture says that Jesus to this day is making intercession for you and for me. There is no one who is more persistent in prayer for you than Jesus. Jesus also is aware of your history and your story. Check it out. He writes them both. He's rewriting your history as he's writing your story. There isn't a friend like Jesus. And finally, Jesus will always remind us of what is true and call out what is false. That is why Jesus was known as one who was full of grace and truth. If you're longing for that, before you can begin to have that in your relationships, you have to have that in your relationship with Jesus. So right where you are today, I would encourage you, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, text Jesus to 57555. On the other side of that text will be somebody that can help you take a next step. It doesn't matter what time it is. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. There'll be people from the Pine Lake family who want to help you take that next step. But for some of you, man, you're believers in Christ, but you don't have deep relationships with other people. And one of the ways that we work relationships here in our Pine Lake family is through groups. Many of these groups meet in person. Some groups meet online. But regardless of where you are, if you need some good Christian friends to begin to live this stuff out with, I would encourage you right where you are to text group to 57555. Again, somebody on the other side of that text will help you get started building relationships with other believers within the body. Don't make an excuse today of why you can't do this. I'm telling you, we can change the world when the mood is right, when the mission is clear, and that happens best when we have healthy, genuine relationships. Would you pray with me now? Father, we're grateful for who you are. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the challenge that we heard in this word today. God, thank you for mamas, for grandmas, for people who've invested in us and loved us enough to just care for us, loved us enough to pray for us, loved us enough to set us up to know you and model what it means to follow you. And God, we're grateful for it. Lord, I do pray for those who are hearing my voice now that are isolated. God, I pray that the enemy will no longer continue to attack them and make them believe that they can live this life in isolation. There is no such thing as an isolated believer. And so God, as they've made excuses over and over again, I pray that they'd hear from an ancient letter from a guy who had every excuse to be isolated, who was in prison, to another guy who had every reason to be isolated because he was a rejected leader. But they'd see the truth of the story here and that they'd recognize that there is no excuse, that having good, healthy relationships can help them change the world. God, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for the relationship you offer to us that we can't even think about changing the world until you have changed our world. And so God, thank you for offering us that freely and fully through Jesus. For it's in his name we pray, amen.